May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's readings from the letter to the Hebrews and from Luke's Gospel are two of my favorites. And one thing that ties them together is the relationship between justice and humility. The author of Hebrews gives us a wonderful summary of Christian ethics and points us to the heart of our faith. Grow in mutual love, show hospitality to strangers, treat prisoners as though you were one of them, value relationships, keep free from the love of money, and be content with all that you have. Now this is good advice. And Luke gives us his account of the parable of the wedding banquet. Jesus has been invited by the leader of the Pharisees to a special meal. And as he surveys the other guests, he notices how they are taking the places of honor at the table. And this prompts one of his most profound and challenging parables. The intended audience are the religious leaders, the upstanding and respected people, people with whom we may find it easy to relate. And the message of the parable is twofold. Firstly, Jesus warns the religious leaders against asserting one's own privileged status. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled. And secondly, Jesus gives them an imperative to extend hospitality to those who cannot reciprocate. Invite the stranger, the poor, and the powerless to the banquet, for when you do, you will be exalted. With Brexit looming before us, injustice and poverty on the rise, an understanding of the nature of humility and justice is more relevant than ever. So what then is justice? According to the activist Cornel West, justice is what love looks like in public. And this, I think, raises important questions. What might love in action look like for us? How do we create a society based on values of empathy and hospitality? And in what ways can we risk giving up our place of honor to honor those most in need? This past week, we remembered the life of St. Augustine of Hippo. He was a 4th-century North African bishop and one of the most influential theologians of all time. For him, there is no separation between the love and justice of God. One does not exist without the other. And a favorite quote by Augustine could not be more relevant today. He said, "Charity is no substitute for justice withheld." Now, we hear much these days about the importance of charity in the private sector, and there are many charities doing good work throughout the city, including the churches. And yet, as necessary as this is, we should ask ourselves, why is this need on the rise? Where do we see justice being withheld in our world, in our nation, and in our community? One area I think we would all recognize is the growing homeless population in London. We are increasingly faced with this issue here at St. Peter's, and as a result, we are having to ask some difficult questions. How do we offer help to people who come into our church while at the same time advocating for just government policies? How can we do more than simply placing a bandage over the problem? How do we assist those in need whilst keeping St. Peter's a safe and peaceful place? Now, there are no easy questions, but this forms the heart of what it means to embrace a theology of ministry grounded in justice and humility. So what then is humility? What does it mean to be humble? Humility is difficult to define, and it's often misunderstood. And yet, one thing that humility is not is a sign of weakness or passivity. Humility involves actively giving up of ourselves for the sake of the other. It cuts to the core of who we are before God. When we read scripture today, it is important to remember that the first century was a very different place, and what we read may make us feel a bit uncomfortable. For example, we like to picture God as gentle and loving, a God without judgment. And yet, both in Luke and in the writer of Hebrews, they portray God as a consuming fire who will enact judgment upon the earth. And Jesus, the embodiment of God, reveals the very heart of God's judgment in redeeming and remaking the world. And the parable of the banquet is a sign of what this might look like. One small way that we join with God in his remaking of the world at St. Peter's is through our befriending ministry with refugees and asylum seekers. We began visiting refugees just over 3 years ago. And after visiting several people, we realized there was a growing need to help people integrate into life in London. And in our discussion about what we might do, Richard Carter had a wonderful idea of hosting a tea party, a banquet of sorts. And this became the first of many parties. One person who regularly attends our parties has caused me to stop to think again about what I believe about God and God's invitation to the banquet. This person, whom we will call Christine, told us of her experience fleeing injustice in her home country. And she described her first year in England, a time of upheaval and isolation. And although she was grateful for the physical safety she found here, she did not feel emotionally safe. She did not feel welcomed, in fact, quite the opposite. And through no fault of her own, Christine was pushed to the edge. She became homeless and nearly died on the streets. And she questioned her longtime faith in God, her belief that God was with her, that he would see her through her suffering. These doubts, these questions for Christine were deeply disturbing. She could handle the shame of homelessness, the humiliation of people's pity and judgment, but she could not handle the idea that somehow God had abandoned her. And the words she said next surprised me. She said, "I had hit the bottom. I had sunk to a place of such shame, a place I would never have imagined myself to be. All I wanted to do was die. And yet, I found something unexpected in this place. In the midst of the shame, the cold, the humiliation, God was there. Somehow, God had come down to this place of death and was waiting to welcome me when I arrived." These words from Christine describe better than anything what the justice and humility of God looks like. In the person of Jesus, God has gone down to the place of darkness, to the place of death, and he has risen from death and is now waiting to welcome us to the banquet when we arrive. In the end, the parable of the wedding banquet draws us towards the Eucharistic banquet and our need for God's redeeming presence in our lives today. For as we come to partake in the bread and the wine, Jesus meets us. And from here, his humility and justice encompass our lives as together we walk in the way of Christ. Amen.